This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey there, pod people. Welcome to Through the Abyss. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And we are jumping back into part two of our Casey Anthony fun little episodes we got going on here. I gotta say, I am excited that we only have one more episode to go with her because I am about Casey Anthony out. Did I tell you the dream I had?
No.
Okay, let me just tell you, this is, you know, a lot of research and everything goes into this. I've put in quite a few hours with, you know, going back and watching stuff with her in it and listening to audio and things like that. And the other night I had a dream that for some reason I went to visit her when she was in prison. And we became like best friends. And that's so disturbing to me. And I felt so dirty. But the cool thing was she was convicted and on death row.
Yeah, but the good news is she wasn't convicted. So she's out there and ready to be your friend.
Yeah, okay, that's never going to happen. But yeah, that just, I didn't really like that dream very much. So I'm ready to to move on to... a much more pleasant topic, you know, like serial killers, that kind of thing. I'm ready for that.
All right, guys, last week we wrapped up the first 48 hours of the case. Thank you for coming back, and we're going to dive into the evidence and continue on.
So going back into the motive, which you had talked about earlier, Casey's boyfriend at the time, Tony, had told Casey, because he had... I guess he was wanting to move and break up with her and, you know, was trying to be gentle about it or whatever. But I guess he told her that he could never marry a girl who had a daughter.
Yeah.
So that
which sounds a little harsh. So yeah. My guess would be from like a guy's standpoint, if that conversation actually existed, it'd be like, I just don't know if I'm ready to be a father. We'd probably be more along the lines of reality, but yeah. That's what she said, he said, correct?
Right. No, that's what Tony had told cops.
Oh, he did say that. So, okay. Never mind. Tony's blind.
So, Tony's the kind of person who should be with Casey, apparently.
Now, Tony was never suspected in any way, was he?
No, I think they cleared him from the get-go.
Okay. So it was always seen as just a solo, right? Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong. Zero other suspects ever.
Not if you count the defense trying to throw her dad under the bus.
Oh yeah, right. Correct.
Well, I mean, yeah.
In a roundabout way, it would be his fault, but we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about what Casey was doing for the entire month that Kaylee was missing. Because this is something a normal concerned parent would do, everything that she did, of course.
Yes.
So July 16th, which is the last time Kaylee was seen by her grandparents. Casey said that her and Kaylee were staying with their nanny. That very night, Casey is caught on video at Blockbuster Video with her boyfriend, Tony, casually strolling about, no cares in the world. Kaylee's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Tony testifies that she was in great spirits that day.
Yes. Yes. She's in a great mood. All's well in Casey's world. On the 20th, you know, 4 days later, she goes to Fusion Nightclub because apparently Tony was like a club promoter or something like that for that club. So she was there, and that's when she entered a hot body contest. And I'm sure everybody has seen all the pictures of her grinding on other girls and just generally looking like she's having the best time in the world, you know.
Now, did she win? That's what matters most.
I have no idea. You know, I'm not sure anybody actually ever said whether or not she won that contest. But again, you know, completely normal reaction from a mother who's missing her child, whose child's been kidnapped. Something I would definitely do. Let's see, the 27th, so like a week later, again, video surveillance cameras capture her shopping at a mall. And then she goes again back to that Fusion Nightclub having fun, another night out with the boyfriend. On July 2nd, she gets a tattoo that says Bella Vita, which is in Italian means beautiful life. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
I'm not a tattoo person, but if I was a tattoo person, I would definitely get something put on me that meant the world to me and showed a big piece of who I am. She gets something that means beautiful life permanently engraved on her body while her daughter is missing.
Yes.
That doesn't really add up to me. I don't understand that.
Yeah. I mean, and like, if you look at it in terms of like a rational person, like after the fact, and it's like, you just took a life and now you're promoting your beautiful. It's like, look, if you had any sense of like normal guilt, remorse or whatever, it's like, you're not going to celebrate your life when you just took a life, especially if somebody that, like, a parent's love for their child is supposed to be greater than their love for themselves. But again, it's hard not to look at these cases from what a normal person would do. So everything's like, but Casey Anthony's not normal. She's not.
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head of being, not having any remorse or anything like that, because it's like you said.
I don't even know if at that point she's cognitively internalizing that it happened. Do I think on the surface she knows I just did this? But yes, but I don't think she's internalizing any of it. There's no remorse because she's not connected to the crime. Somehow she can do things. Like, this person seems to have the ability to do things, but not be connected to the things she did.
I think that's a possibility, yeah. But I mean, you know, at the same time, she's like, I just killed my daughter. I now have a beautiful life because I can do all the fun, carefree things that a 20-something person can do without being...
Yes.
You know, tied down to family responsibilities and having my parents, you know, judge me and tell me how I should be living my life, which I don't think they did anyway. I think they were very good, very loving parents.
Yeah.
And I know they definitely love their granddaughter.
Yeah. And you know what, this conversation, this is kind of how you and I kind of both differ on this case, but I think it's the way it's good, because I think it's the way the world kind of differs on this case, because like I said earlier, and I think it's something that in this case and in other cases too, but especially in this one, you'll just come back to over and over and over and over again, which is Casey Anthony is either the worst human being in the world who just only cared about herself, or she's one of the most delusioned people in the world and she's completely out of touch with reality, or it's a combination. But like, there's really not a whole lot of gray for her, right? It's like, she's either La La Land or she only is concerned with herself.
Yeah, I wish she'd been convicted so that a psychologist could get in there and study her. You know? I mean, I don't know if they would actually get very far, because she never tells the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's always Casey's version of the events, you know?
Right. I almost find it hard to believe that with her, because of the way I see her mentality, that she hasn't committed more crimes. I would assume it's because of, we've kind of talked a little bit about where she's out at now. People are just making sure she does the right things right now. I don't think it's her own volition that's keeping her safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't think she necessarily, you know, because not all socio or not all psychopaths are criminals. I think this is just a circumstance where she saw the kind of life that she wanted to have, and she got rid of the obstacle that was preventing her from
having it. I might have misread this, but she doesn't have other kids now, right?
No, from what last thing I read about her, I think she said she was open to
having kids,
wanting more kids. I'm just like, oh, please God, don't.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to sterilize her.
You could be right. I mean, because the only reason I thought that, like, she would do more things, it's not because all criminals, it's because she's so detached with the responsibility of crimes that they'd be easy for her to do. But I see exactly what you're saying, and I now switch my opinion. The only way she would ever do a crime in the first place, though, is if it's an obstacle to her. Now that children are something that she would want, It's possible mm-hmm. she'd actually even be an okay parent. I say that to an extent because I feel like she's super selfish and like mm-hmm. she thinks she might want a child now, but as soon as that child infringed upon her will, or the things that she wants in her life, then it could become an issue again. So I think mm-hmm. the most dangerous, the thing that would lead her the most to another crime would be having another child. They need to make sure that doesn't happen.
I agree with that wholeheartedly because, you know, like you said, it may be all wonderful, fun videos and lovely pictures right up into the point where it interferes with her doing something that she really wants to do.
Yeah.
Which I really think is, I really think that's what this all boils down to. I mean, obviously we can't prove it because the only person who knows what happened is her and Kaylee. And, you know, Kaylee obviously can't tell us what happened, but it's just a disgusting, this whole thing is so disgusting, just the way it turned out and just, you know,
yeah,
but the system really let Kaylee down on this one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I almost am less mad at Casey. And I notice I see that your cheeks get red when you say something like that, but I'm almost less mad at Casey than the system and the jurors. And it's because it's just like this acquittal should not have happened.
Oh, I agree. No, I'm actually more infuriated with the jury and with Baez and Chaney Mason, the other co-defense.
Yeah.
Because it's just, oh my God. I don't think you should be able to make up a bunch of bullshit just to try to throw in reasonable doubt. I just don't think, how is that a fair justice system? Because, you know, and again, we'll talk about this a little bit more. Yeah,
you're just trying to confuse the jurors. Like, if your goal as a defense attorney is to confuse the jurors, but I guess it's like pretty universal, right? I mean, I know we're not on the OJ trial, but I've watched a lot of stuff on it recently. Mm-hmm. And I mean, part of the whole racial thing being thrown in there was 100% that Johnny Cochran just wanted to give them smoke and mirrors and yeah. be like, don't worry about the evidence. This is what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, honestly, with going to the OJ case for a second, I think if it had been something that happened, maybe, well, hell, not even now, because Black Lives Matter probably would have turned out to be the same thing. But, you know, before all the, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, before Black Lives Matter kind of went into full swing, I think OJ, there may have been a good possibility that OJ would have gotten convicted. But the time frame of when it happened, you know, coming off of Rodney King and that type of thing, Johnny Cochran used that to his advantage, definitely.
Yeah, Johnny Cochran's very intelligent person. Yeah. He used what they needed to use.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it wasn't a lie, though, you know? Whereas...
No, I mean, Mark Thurman was 100% super racist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It just had nothing to do with the fact that OJ also committed the crime.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, that's... I can forgive that kind of defense because there's a modicum of truth to it. But
that's true.
When you talk about Jose Baez and Chaney Mason and the bullshit that they pulled with saying George molested her and, you know, that he's the one who found Kaylee in the pool dead and disposed of her body, which again, we'll get into a little bit more in depth in a little bit, but that's so unethical to me. That is, in my opinion, abusing our justice system because you're telling, obviously they want the jury to be sympathetic towards Casey, but you know, not based off of a lie and, you know, throwing somebody else under the bus. I don't think that's what our justice system is about.
You know, but it's all par for the course in this case because they did what, see, that's why I say maybe Casey Anthony is smarter than all of us because they did exactly what she did. From day one, she told the police and everyone related to her, everyone that asked crazy ass lies, right? And then her defense relied on crazy ass lies. My whole point is this case was so confusing from every angle mm-hmm. that it was hard to find any truth in any of it. So in our justice system, all you need is reasonable doubt. I think the jurors would 100% be like, yeah, we didn't get truth from anywhere, but we also don't have proof. If you don't have truth, you don't have proof
mm-hmm.
that this is what happened either. Right. So
yeah, it just blows my mind. But back to what we were originally talking about. We got off a little tangent there for a minute. So she gets a tattoo. The next day, that July 3rd is when Cindy goes to Universal Studios to get Kaylee. And of course, Casey isn't there. So Cindy calls her on the phone. That's when Casey tells her that they're in Jacksonville. Well, her cell phone records prove that she had actually never left Orlando the entire time. Her phone had never pinged in Jacksonville or anything like that. So July 4th, Casey goes to this 4th of July fireworks party. And according to the host who was interviewed, Casey had told him that she does have a daughter. No mention that she's missing or that there are any problems whatsoever. And again, Casey's, you know, in good spirits, having a good time, living it out, which again, I to this day will never understand. And then, you know, that's when we get to July 15th, where the 911 call is made. You know, this entire month, Casey's been caught on multiple surveillance cameras. Kaylee's never seen on camera. No witnesses have seen her, including her boyfriend, who she spends an inordinate amount of time with. But I mean, you've got a ton of footage of Casey looking happy, having a blast. You know, she's not traumatized or worried about anything at all. And I don't understand how, if your child's missing, how you can party and act like nothing is wrong. And I know that people deal with grief in different ways, but I mean, this isn't grief in just a weird, dysfunctional fashion. This is straight up, she doesn't give a crap about what's going on because she knows the problem's already been solved and has been dealt with already.
I had to look it up to make sure I'm saying the right term. It's like popped in my head from it. It was like, to me, it's dissociative disorder. She's not associating reality with actually being anything she's responsible for. Like, she's not connecting to reality.
I don't know. I mean, I just, because I watched Marsha Clark has a show on Amazon, The First 48 Hours. And she actually took a look at the Casey Anthony trial and she talked to Chaney Mason, and which was Jose's number two defense guy. And he said the way he described it is when it happened, Casey went into Casey world and never came out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems too easy. You know, I think she's more diabolical than that.
You could be right. I mean, she might just be snowing everybody and she's just like, I'm just going to tell a bunch of BS and I'm going to go on with my life because I'm young and I'm free. But it's just that extent of lies, that crazy amount, it's just too much to not have her be just not connected.
Yeah.
To me.
I totally get that. Yeah. And I can see why, you know, people would think that way. Just for me, I think it's just because I think she's such an unbelievable evil person that it's just hard for me to throw any, and I'm not saying that you're sympathizing with her at all, but that's the only way I can describe it. It's hard for me to show any kind of sympathy because saying that she was disconnected to me is being sympathetic to her and that she couldn't help what was happening when,
yeah,
in my mind, she was in full control of everything that was going on.
Yeah. And I am sympathizing with her. Actually, I mean, that's a fair word, but it's sympathizing to this extent. Do I think she should have been convicted? 100%. But do I think she should be in a prison? No. I think she should be in a long-term mental health care facility for probably ever, because I don't think that what she has is fixable.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. I just wish we knew what it was that she had.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, narcissism is definitely part of it.
Yeah.
You can't deny that. But I mean,
and pathological liar, right? Which,
oh, God, yeah.
Which narcissists tend to have some of that anyway. Right. So that's fair game there, too. Because whether she, even if she knows she's lying, right? She's definitely pathological with it because she's been doing it forever. Like we had kind of alluded to, we've got examples prior to the case, right? Like, she lied about the whole pregnancy to begin with. She's Casey Anthony from the information that we know, right? Obviously, we weren't there growing up with Casey Anthony, but the information presented that we know, she's lied her whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just what makes everything so difficult for me to have any other inclination. And then she knew exactly what the hell she was doing. But, you know, like you, a lot of people feel the same way you do, I'm sure. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who, you know, lean more towards what I'm saying. But then that's, you know, that's the great thing about our countries, and we get all have different opinions, because yeah. I mean, it's not like we're ever going to find the answer to it, you know, unless just all of a sudden decides to grow a conscience and say, yeah, you know what, I did it, I didn't want to have a kid, so you know, I did
what I did. Possible. I mean, it's possible that that would be, like, for someone like her, I would say a deathbed confession, right? Something where she knows she's not going to suffer any negative side effects. I get that, you know, she can't be charged for it again, but side effects also include, you know, being judged by society. I also get that she's already judged by society, but it's way worse if you're like, I did it, haha. You know what I mean? Like, so I could see it being something when she's like old and gray and in a bed saying, I did do this thing, you know, because people have done that in the past. And, but for me, like I said, I don't think she feels she's connected to any of it all. So I don't think that would ever happen either. I think that she honestly feels, even if I held a cloth over my daughter's face, it was for this purpose. And certainly it didn't kill her, even though it clearly did.
You know? I get that. Yeah, I mean, that's where I am in agreement with you to that, because I don't, like I said, I don't think she's able to take responsibility for it. I think she blames everything that happened on Kaylee, on her parents, you know, on everybody but Casey. So I don't think she takes responsibility for anything.
Yeah.
I don't think she can.
Well, I think, you know, someone as disconnected as her would also be under the belief that's like, well, abortion's legal and I didn't want a child. And even though she's already here, she's still young. And, you know, I mean, like, I could see her rationalizing all kinds of ways in Casey land. Right. So
I would agree with that. Yeah. I could see that too. Talk about these jailhouse phone calls.
Yeah.
You'd watch some of those, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is being recorded.
Yeah.
I can see your face.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm going to need you to brief me on some of the jailhouse phone calls for sure.
Okay. So, in terms of these jailhouse phone calls that she made, the first one that I watched was interesting. It was kind of like bipolar Casey, you know, because at the beginning, Cindy was asking her all these questions, you know, about where Kaylee is and, you know, what she think really happened to Kaylee. And, you know, Casey's getting really defensive and really aggressive and just being kind of bitchy with her mom about it, just giving her these real, you know, short, I don't know, you know, answers and that kind of thing. Just,
That leans towards maybe there is some guilt in there. Maybe she was starting to crack under the pressure at that point.
Or you might possibly take it as Casey's not being treated as the victim. You know, everybody's more into, you know.
That's a very, very interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really worried about anything you think about her. She's just like, why is everyone worried about my daughter? Maybe that was the whole point maybe that was the whole thing in a nutshell. Maybe the parents were doting grandparents and she's like, what about me? Wow.
I really think that has a lot to do with it. Cause I mean, on other phone calls, it's kind of the same attitude. And the next call we'll talk about in a minute. I mean, it's almost in your face, like, hey, everybody look at me, you know, I'm the one who's in jail.
Yeah. And it also kind of steers into the other portion of that where with the dad, right? Like you were talking about how the call with the dad, she tells her dad, he's a great dad and he's the best grandpa. It kind of doesn't go into her future allegations of the father the way you would expect, right? But also... Right. It's like, look, mom's not showing me any attention. Let me kiss up to dad and see if I can get some love here, because it should all be about me.
Well, and her dad did. George was, you know, telling her how much he loves her and, you know, that they miss her and all this other stuff. And then that's when Casey, you know, jumps back into good daughter mode, if you will, you know, telling him.
So as long as you're attentive to her, she's good with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of basically what it says. And, you know, leading into the next phone call, she was really aggressive with her mom on this one. Like, I guess Cindy had done an interview on TV stating that she wasn't sure what her daughter's involvement was with, you know, with Kaylee's disappearance. And Casey, she gets on the phone, she's like, what do you mean you don't know what my involvement, or what did she say? She said, something like, So I just watched you on TV, saw your clip on TV, and Cindy's like, which one? She's done, you know, I'm like, oh, you probably should have said that because that's going to egg her on a little bit, but it was kind of funny at the time. But then, you know, she goes on to say, well, you don't know what my involvement is. And I mean, just being real hateful.
I think that's a pretty lenient statement though, right? I don't know what her involvement is. Because her mother easily could have been like, oh, I think she did something. You know, I was like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I think on Cindy's part, that was a fair statement.
Yes.
You know, because she adored her granddaughter. And you know damn well her parents know that that Casey did something
that kid. I mean, her parents have been pretty vocal, at least after George the fact has, that they know she did this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they don't know with proof. They're not like part of it.
Well, yeah, right.
But they know, right?
Yeah. And so Casey's all butthurt because, again, she's not being treated like the victim, like she wants. So she tells her, she's like, you know, just put Lee on the phone. I need to get Tony's phone number, Tony, her boyfriend, of course. You know, that's the only person she's wanting to talk to now because I guess maybe that's the only person who sympathizes with her. I know her brother got on the phone. She's like, he's like, why do you want Tony's phone number? Does Tony have something to do with Kaylee? And Casey's like, no, I just want to talk to him. He's my boyfriend. And her brother's giving shit, which is awesome, about how, you know, there's absolutely no point in you needing to talk to him if he has nothing to do with the case and can't help us find Kaylee. And then her friend gets on the phone and basically saying the same thing. She's like, I don't understand why you want to talk to him if he has nothing to do with this case.
She doesn't care about her kids. She just wants her life back. But but it's ridiculous. Like I said, in the world of people who are rational human beings, if your daughter has been missing for a month and you're now in prison, you don't even really have a boyfriend anymore. Unless he's super supportive and he's helping you prove your innocence. Like you don't even worry about that guy.
Yeah. Which he's not at all. Like I don't think he has anything to do with anything whatsoever. He was called to testify against her. Yeah. So,
Casey, Mom, hey, sweetie.
Oh, I just saw your nice little cameo on TV.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Which one? I did four different ones, and I don't know. I haven't seen them all. I've only seen one or two so far.
You don't know what my involvement is in stuff?
Casey,
Mom.
What?
No.
I don't know what your involvement is, sweetheart. You're not telling me where she's at.
Because I don't know where she's at. Are you kidding me?
Casey, don't waste your call.
No.
Scream and holler at me.
Waste my call sitting in, the jail?
Whose fault
are bunks are?
Whose fault is you sitting in the jail? You're blaming me that you're sitting in the jail?
Not
blame yourself
fault.
For telling lies. You mean it's not your fault? What do you mean it's not your fault, sweetheart? If you'd have told them the truth and not lied about everything, they wouldn't.
Do me a favor. Just tell me what Tony's number is. I don't want to talk to you right now. Forget it.
I don't have his number.
We'll get it from Lee because I know Lee's at the house. I saw Mallory's car was out front. It was just on the news. They were just live outside the house.
I know they were.
Well?
Well?
Can you get Tony's number for me so I can call him? Hey, can you give me Tony's number?
I can do that. I don't know what real good it's going to do at this point.
Well, I'd like to talk to him anyway.
Okay.
Because I called to talk to my mother, and it's f***ing waste. Oh, by the way, I don't want any of you coming up here when I have my first hearing for bond and everything else. Like, don't even waste your time coming up here.
You know, you're having a real tough, you're making it real tough for anybody to want to try to, even if she was giving you somebody's phone number. You're not even letting me finish. You're asking me, first you're asking me for Tony's phone number so you can call him, and then you immediately want to start pressing towards me and saying, don't even worry about coming up here for all this stuff and trying to cut us out.
I'm not trying to cut anybody out.
I'm not going around and around with you. You know, that's pretty pointless. I'm not going to go through, I'm not going to put everybody else through the same stuff that you've been putting the police and everybody else through for the last 24 hours and the stuff you've been putting Mom through for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I'm done with that. So you can tell me what's going on. Christina would love to talk to you because she thinks that you will tell her what's going on. Frankly, we're going to find out. Something, whatever's going on, is going to be found out. So why not do it now?
There's nothing to find out. There's absolutely nothing to find out. Not even what I told the detective.
Well, you know, everything you could tell them
is
why.
If I knew where Kaylee was, do you think any of this would be happening? No.
Anyway, you only got a couple minutes for this, so I'm not going to let you get through the way. So here's Christina. She thinks she can get through.
No, I want Tony's number. I'm not talking to anybody else.
Okay.
Hi, I'm glad everybody's at my house. I'll have to call you later. I'll have to call somebody to get your number. Do me a favor, get my brother back because I need Tony's number.
Okay, is there anything I can do for you?
I'm sitting in jail. There's nothing anybody can do right now.
Well, I'm just trying to be...
Oh, I know you are, honey. I absolutely know that you are, and I appreciate everything that you're trying to do, but I'd like to call Tony. He's not at my house, is he?
No, okay. No. It's just me and your parents, Emily.
Okay. Well, can you do me a favor and get my brother back or get the number from him, please?
Does Tony have anything to do with Kaylee?
No, nothing.
Okay, so why do you want to trust Tony? You probably don't want to tell me, do you?
Huh?
You probably don't want to tell me, do you?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said, does Tony have anything to do with Kaylee?
No, Tony has nothing to do with Kaylee.
Oh, so why do you want to talk to him?
Because he's my boyfriend, and I want to actually try to sit and talk to him because I didn't get a chance to talk to him earlier because I got arrested on whim today. Because they're blaming me for stuff that I never would do, that I didn't do.
Okay. Well, I'm on nobody. I'm on your side. You know that.
Oh, actually, yeah, I know that. I just want to talk to Tony and get a little bit of...
Casey, you have to tell me if you know anything about Kaylee.
Sweetheart,
if anything happens with Kaylee, Casey, I'll die. You understand? I'll die. If anything happens to that baby.
Oh, my God. Calling you guys? A waste. Huge waste. Honey, I love you. You know I would not let anything happen to my daughter. If I knew where she was, this wouldn't be going on.
Well, how come everybody's saying you're lying?
Because nobody's listening to anything that I'm saying. The media completely misconstrued everything that I said. The detectives told them. They got all of their information from me, yet at the same time, they're twisting stuff. They've already said they're going to pin this on me if they don't find Kaylee.
I mean, she's clearly boyfriend obsessed. Number one, because that's
or
all
she wants to talk to him and say, hey, don't tell the police this, don't tell the police that. That's possible too.
I don't think she would do that because his calls are recorded and she knows it.
Okay.
I mean, I think we're both in agreement that she's not a stupid person.
No, I mean, I think she's very intelligent, possibly like even pathologically intelligent to the point where it gets into the crazy levels, right?
But on like on the phone call, she's like, she even told her friend, she's like, they just want Kaylee back and that's all they're worried about. Again, going back to, oh, poor me, I'm not the victim anymore. You know, they obviously love Kaylee more than they love me. You know, again, not caring that Kaylee is missing. It's still only about the fact that I'm stuck in jail and Kaylee's the reason I'm here. So she's, to me, essentially blaming Kaylee for all the shit that's going on. You know, even though she killed her, it's her fault that she killed her because she was standing in the way of a wonderful life, a beautiful life. And because she killed her, it's all Kaylee's fault that she's in jail now. You know, so she's, I really think that's kind of, I want to punch her in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely, she lives in a world we don't, right? It's hard
to
understand.
That is for sure.
Yeah. And when it's super hard to understand how someone could be the way they are, it gets frustrating. So it does evoke like that. You just want to beat her down because it's like no human being would do the things you did. No human being would say the things you said. No human being would think the way you're thinking.
You know, it's weird though, because when I think about Casey Anthony, I get pissed off immediately. When I think about somebody like Ed Kemper, I don't, you know.
That is weird to me. Like when you were talking about that the other day, it was like, it's bizarre. It's like, I mean,
you look at their backgrounds. Like Ed was brought up by a horrible, horrible mother, which, you know, typically has a lot to do with serial killers most of the time, not all the time. Casey had a perfect childhood. Probably not perfect,
but
there's
no
reason for her to be that way.
Yeah, but
from like a nurturing aspect of it.
Right. From a nurturing standpoint, but mental illness does exist and clearly genetically she's got issues too. So I mean that is a factor.
I know. It's just harder for me to sympathize with that versus, you know. I don't know. What does it say about me that I sympathize more with a serial killer?
It means that I now go from I don't understand Casey Anthony to I don't understand Casey Anthony and Mandy. You're just part of that.
Oh, just for the record, I do not condone violence. Let's throw that out there right now. Violence is bad. Unless it's somebody who hurt an animal, then it's completely fine, in my opinion. All right, jumping into the actual evidence, and then we'll get into the trial part of it. Dr. Garavaglia was the medical examiner who was on Kaylee's case. Some of the evidence that...
She's for the prosecution, correct?
She's not, well...
Or was there just one that was for everybody?
She was like the main medical examiner, so she's not okay. really... prosecutor versus defense, but
she's like the coroner, worse for the coroner.
Yeah, basically. Okay. She wasn't the defense's person, though, that's for sure.
Okay.
She's more of, she doesn't look at guilt or innocence, she looks at the facts.
Okay, so it's not that she's not for the defense, it's that the evidence doesn't bode well for the defense.
Exactly. So, of course, the defense is going to try to ruin her, but she's apparently one of the better Emmys, I mean, very, very highly regarded. So Kaylee's body, which was found, you know, not very far from the Anthony home, it was found with a Winnie the Pooh blanket. And if you go back and look at Kaylee's room, I mean, it's the theme is pretty much Winnie the Pooh. It's done up a lot of Winnie the Pooh. The clothing that she had was the clothing she was wearing at the time of her disappearance, which cops verified via family pictures. They found matching laundry mitts because Kaylee was put in a plastic bag inside of a laundry bag. And one of the bags was obviously where Kaylee was, and the other matching one was in the Anthony's garage. So now the duct tape, that was kind of a pivotal piece of evidence that was fought over between the defense and the prosecution. It was found, it had Kaylee's hair on it, and it was presumed that it was around the mouth and the nose. And then they also found that same kind of duct tape in the Anthony garage. And a lot of the evidence that was found at the crime scene could be linked back to the Anthony household. So that was kind of damning.
No, this is the parents' household, right? Or
right. Yeah.
She didn't household. Live with them, right?
No. Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
She did. So they would have known that their granddaughter was gone for a month. Or
oh, yeah. Yeah. They were trying to get in touch with her, but Kaylee would never.
Because you know, she would always make there, up some but excuse. She had been away.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes right. sense.
Now, as far as the forensics findings, they found high levels of chloroform in the trunk. The hair that was found was from a Caucasian, had the characteristics of apparent decomposition at the root. Mitochondrial evidence showed that the hair belonged to Kaylee and that it had fallen off of her dead body. They went back to show that the body had been there for months. As far as identification, Dr. G sent the tibia to the FBI, who then confirmed that it did belong to Kaylee. And everything I'm saying now is going to tie in a little bit more when we start talking about the trial and evidence. As far as the duct tape, because this was a big factor, defense is saying Baez put forth that it could have, you know, that it was just used to tape the plastic bag that the human remains were found in. But the evidence showed that it had to have been placed on the face, because when they found the skull, the mandible, your jaw was still attached to the skull. And during decomposition, that falls off because there's nothing that actually will hold that into place, you know, once the skin and everything has been
right. Decomposed. So the fact that it was still there means it had to have been secured.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So the duct tape would have had to have been holding it in place. Not to mention all of the teeth were still in place, which is unusual as well. So, I mean, there's no really other explanation than that duct tape, you know, was placed on the face. And, you know, since her body was so decomposed, obviously they can't say for certain that the duct tape is what suffocated her, but it was put there for a reason. And in the specific place it was put there, I mean, what other reason would it be then to suffocate her? It just, there's really, in my mind, there's really no other rationale for it.
Yeah. I mean, other than the other spiel that had been brought up previously about like her wanting just to quiet her daughter. I mean, it's not, like I said, again, in the world of rational human beings, not even a factor. In the world of Kaylee Anthony, maybe.
Right. Exactly. Now, all the evidence that I'm showing right now is the things that Dr. G testified to while she was on the stand.
Okay.
the defense tried to say that the body had not been there for the entire time, but the little rootlets that were growing into the bone, according to the ME, meant that the body had to be dumped in the area where it was found at the early stages of decomposition for the little rootlets and everything to be growing, you know, into the body itself. She said that there were no signs of traumatic injury and that toxicology was a long shot because the bones were dry, meaning that there's no marrow or cartilage or anything like that. So
exactly.
So it did show that there were no evidence of drugs, but, you know, again, it's not going to show up. As far as the chloroform, traces of it can linger in an area for over a month. And this is in regards to the trunk of the car. So it is very plausible that they're, you know, they were able to pick up on chloroform. And Dr. G strongly suspected asphyxiation, possibly mixed with drugs, but she can't give a cause of death. She did say the manner of death was homicide. And by manner of death, they take modern practice of forensic pathology, looks at everything. They look at the body, they look at the scene, they look at the history. And according to Dr. G, the circumstances were telling, you know, leading towards homicide. Like she didn't report her missing when after she's been kidnapping. None of, you know, her actions fit, and none of the reasons, you know, like a pool drowning, that type of thing. Right. None of those fit as to why the body would have been dumped where it was dumped. It
just doesn't. And her jaw's been taped. She's in a bag. She's in put in a rural portion of area, right? Where there's vegetation grow. I mean, don't have to sell me too hard on the homicide.
Right. I mean, there's no other reason for a body to decompose in a field in a plastic bag with duct tape over the face. I mean, it had to be a homicide. There's, in my mind, and what I would assume would be rational people's minds, there's no other explanation for that. You know, if she had drowned in the pool, why would there be duct tape over her face?
I mean, there is one other possible explanation, which would lean more towards manslaughter, but which she also was charged with and found innocent. But it's kind of like the Audrey Iacona case. If people don't know that, look it up. Young girl says she has a baby, born dead, puts it in a plastic bag in the garage or the basement or whatever. They find it later. She gets charged. She actually, in that case, I believe was found guilty. Anyways, that long story short, there's the big discrepancy was the baby born dead or did she suffocate the baby and put it in the bag? But the whole point is, I think this was a scared young girl. I'm not talking about Casey, but in that case was a scared young girl, had a baby, whether it was dead or alive, didn't tell anybody because she's just trying to cover it up. Right. Mm-hmm. So there is the possibility that Casey Anthony accidentally suffocated her child and then was like, I don't want to get caught and covered it up. Right. Which would be like manslaughter.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, accidental on purpose, she still killed her kid.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, I have no doubt 100% that the death of Kaylee Anthony was the result of Casey Anthony. Just all the details of exactly what happened, unfortunately, with a whole, like you said, a whole mountain of lies, right? It's hard to figure out left and right, so.
Exactly. That's what, I don't know, maybe that was her whole intention, you know, in the beginning, to throw so much shade on everything that it just confuses the entire situation and, you know, would make it impossible for somebody to say.
I mean, you could see from a horrible parent, if you're going into horrible parent land, instead of saying like a rational person versus a Casey Anthony person, if you're going into horrible parent land and your daughter's screaming and crying, putting that strip of duct tape across her face, right? And then like you forget about her, she's sitting in front of the TV or whatever, you go like make yourself a breakfast burrito, you come back, it's like now she's not moving, right?
Yeah.
Now, did you murder? Technically it's not murder, but it's definitely manslaughter and it's definitely your fault.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Accidental death, but at your own hands.
Yes.
Either way, she should have been in jail for.
Yes.
All right.
Or like I said, you know, if some of my mental assumptions of her are correct, you know, some sort of long-term psychiatric facility, but not on the street, not in Florida.
Not planning to have another kid sometime soon.
Yes. Not shacking up with a private investigator.
let's not even go there, because he's like, what, 40 times her age, something like that. Not that age should matter, but I mean, come on. Now we can kind of get into the trial.
It matters.
I feel the age too, but.
All right, I think we're at a pretty good stopping point for this particular episode. Tune in next week when we go over the conclusion of our Casey Anthony case. Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spooklista!